Welcome to the Grace Capital City podcast. We are a community of Jesus followers located in Washington, D.C., working to see God's kingdom come through worship, family, and justice. For more information about our church, go to gracecapitalcity.com. But in the meantime, we hope you enjoyed this week's message. Hey, church. Grace Capital City, so good to be with you guys today, and thank you for joining us for our service on this Sunday. Wherever you are watching from, I pray, if it's here in Washington, D.C., somewhere else around the country, maybe somewhere else around the world, I pray you are blessed. I pray you've been blessed by the worship. I pray you're blessed by the message today. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would really meet with you in a profound way as we open God's Word. We're just so glad to have you guys with us today. We're going to be in our last Sunday of a Jeremiah series. This is something we've been in for 6 weeks. If you've missed the messages, I encourage you to go back and catch up on them a little. But we've been exploring some of the big themes that come out of Jeremiah, and there are some really profound themes. We've talked about identity. We've talked about calling. We've talked about prosperity. We talked about breaking and how we go through these breaking seasons. But today we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 33. So if you're old school like me, get out the paper Bible. If you're not as old school as me, or you just prefer the digital version, maybe you can turn there on your phone, or if you're watching on our screening platform, you can, I think there's a Bible tab that you can click on, and should be able to find the verse there. You can always throw something on the chat as well, just to say hey, and maybe put any points that God might be highlighting to you through the message. So today we're going to be in Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through to verse 22. So it's 33, 14 to 22. And it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor will the priests who are Levites ever fail to have a man to stand before me, continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites who are priests ministering before me can be broken. And David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars of the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore. The days are coming, declares the Lord. The days are coming. I love that phrase at the beginning of verse 14. The days are coming. And it captures, in a lot of ways, a theme that is so central and important to the book of Jeremiah. In fact, there's 16 times throughout the book of Jeremiah where he uses that phrase, where God says that phrase, the days are coming. 9 times to speak about blessing, about future blessing, days are coming of blessing. 7 times to speak about future destruction. But this idea that the days are coming, it reminds us that God is wanting Judah to know, hey, the story I'm writing is still being written. And the purposes that I have are still coming to pass. Like, my plans are still going to happen. The days are coming, and there's nothing Babylon can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing anyone can do about it. If God wills it to be so, he says the days are coming. It's going to happen. The days are coming. Now, keep in mind for a minute that in this moment, chapter 33 of Jeremiah, the nation of Judah is on the verge of complete destruction. This has been such an incredibly dark time for this nation. We've talked about the exile. Tens of thousands of people hauled off into exile in Babylon. And so you could even imagine in Jerusalem what it must have been like for the remnant. I imagine it must have been an eerie kind of feeling. There's this impending doom. We know historically in not too long a time, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. Solomon's temple is going to be destroyed. And so you could imagine in Jerusalem with just this remnant left, it must have been an eerie feeling. There must have been a sense of like, what is going to happen? How is this all going to happen? There must have been a feeling of like, is this the end? Is this the apocalypse? How is this all going to go down? A strange atmosphere, which in a lot of ways, it kind of reminds me of the year 2020. I mean, let's be honest, this has been a strange time to be alive, right? Coronavirus, COVID-19 quarantine, so much uncertainty. I remember right at the beginning of quarantine, you know, Liam and I would take walks every day because you just got to do what you got to do. You got to be sane, right? And so we would take a walk and, you know, I would see helicopters flying overhead. And if you're from D.C. or you've lived in D.C. for a while, you're pretty used to helicopters, right? I mean, we get a lot of helicopters flying by. But because of everything that was going on, because of the quarantine and, you know, rumors of supply chains breaking down and borders being closed and all this stuff, you know, I'm seeing these helicopters and I'm like, are we living in a George Orwell movie right now? Like, is this the end? Is this the apocalypse? There was this strange atmosphere in the air that we were experiencing. I imagine there would have been some similarities at this time in Jerusalem as well. But here's the thing. I dare say this isn't the end for us. And we know for sure it wasn't the end for Israel and the nation of Judah at this time, because God says, He says, the days are coming. There's something I'm doing, something greater. I'm still writing a story. I'm still fulfilling my promises. I'm still working all things out for my glory and for your good. The days are coming. And I love it in these verses. He really gives us a sense. God gives us a sense in a way of what these days are going to be. And have a look at verse 15 there. It gives us a clue about the central theme of these days that are coming. He says, in those days at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. And he will do what is just and right in the land. So God is saying there's a day coming where I am going to continue a legacy through you. I'm writing a legacy, a storyline, a lineage through you, and it's going to be a righteous branch sprouting from David's line. Now, we know as people living in the new covenant, right, we know what he's talking about. God's talking about Yeshua. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Israel doesn't know that. They don't know what's coming from their lineage, but God is saying, hey, there's a legacy that's going to flow through. There's a day coming. There's a legacy, a covenant I'm making to establish a legacy through you. And then if you keep going, verse 20, he it's like he confirms that. He confirms it. He says, verse 20, he says, if you can break my covenant with the day, and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, can be broken. Paraphrase that just a little bit. Then my covenant. So this is essentially what he's saying as an assurance of this legacy he's going to create through this lineage. He says, if you can stop the sun from rising and you can stop the sun from setting, then you can break my covenant. But you can't. You can't. And so you can be certain of my promise. You can be certain of what I am doing, because the day is coming. And I'm creating and establishing a legacy. That's what I am doing. I'm doing something really big here. I was thinking the other day about my grandparents' funerals. And I know that's a strange thing to be thinking about, but it'll make sense in a minute. But I was thinking about it, and I have a rare honor in the sense that of the three grandparents of my biological grandparents that I knew while I've been alive, I've got to preach at all three of their funerals. And they're all amazing men and women. They're all Dutch immigrants who moved to Australia. They're all people who loved Jesus, raised families, were active in the church, just amazing people. And so it's just this huge honor that I got to preach at all three of their funerals at different times. But the one I probably remember the most was we called him Opa Mormon. He was my dad's dad. And he was a minister. He was a preacher like me. He's a church planner. He was really involved in ministry all in the Netherlands, but then also in Australia. And so you could imagine he impacted a lot of people's lives. And so his funeral was really more of a celebration. Hundreds of people showed up. It was this great worship and celebration of this man's life. And so I gave the address, gave this word. And I remember in that word, I started talking about his legacy. I remember saying something along the lines of, you know, Opa Mormon, Opa, we're not going to forget you. We're not going to forget you. We're going to tell our children about you, and we're going to tell the stories, and your legacy is going to continue on. And I remember preaching that and really, really meaning it. So anyway, that was 2008. Fast forward to just a few weeks ago. I was having a conversation with my 5-year-old son, Liam, about where his middle name comes from. Now, you might not know this, Liam's middle name is Case. K-A-C-E is how we spell it. And Case is a Dutch name. It was actually the name of both of his great-grandfathers, both of my grandfathers, my opas, as we called them. And so I'm telling Liam about his great opas. We, in the Dutch, we call it the grote opa, which is my one little bit of Dutch there. It literally means great opa or big opa, even it can be translated to. And so I'm telling Liam about his great-grandfathers and about that's where he got his name Case from. And I'm saying these are these great men, these are the things they did and how you remember them. And, you know, here's the thing. Liam is 5 years old, right? And so looking back on that conversation, I'm like, I don't exactly know what reaction I expected from him. Like, I don't know if I expected him to be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Tell me more about these people I have never met and will never meet. But he didn't do that. He just kind of looked at me very blankly. And it hit me. I had this moment and I'm like, oh, this literally means nothing to you. Like, these are just names. And I don't mean that as an insult against Liam. Like, I think about my great-grandfathers, and I could barely even tell you their names. I could look it up and maybe find out what their names were. But it all of a sudden hit me, these men that had meant so much to my life, had poured their hearts out into their families in just two generations, right? My parents' generation, and then my generation, and then Liam's generation. You just got two generations in the middle there, basically forgotten. And it was this very, like, sobering moment. This very, like, sobering reality. Kind of reminded me, I don't know if you've ever walked through a graveyard, and it's not something I do every day for fun or anything, but I have done it before, and you walk through, and you just see these names. And you know that every one of those tombstones, it represents a life and a whole story. And there were passions and dreams and joys and failures and all those kinds of things. But now it's just a tombstone. And for many of them, no one remembers who they are. In just a few generations, people so quickly forget. It's this really sobering reminder. And guys, I'm telling you this today, not to make you depressed, I apologize if I have, but just to make us real, help us understand that when we talk about legacy, I think we can so easily narrow our focus too much, right? We can so get so caught up in this idea of like, I need to leave a legacy, or how am I going to leave a legacy, or I want to make sure my life counts, and I want to make sure I'm not forgotten, and we want our lives to count, and that's a really good thing, right? But here's the thing. If you believe that your legacy that you will leave is centrally about your life, then you're mistaken. And that's not me telling you that. That's history telling you that, right? That's history, because in two generations, most likely, I hate to say it to you, but you will be forgotten. Your name will be forgotten. The things you did for the most part will be forgotten. Maybe you'll make it to three generations, but it won't go much beyond that. And so if your legacy is just about your life and your name, then we're completely missing the point. And so the question then for us, the question is, if your name is going to be forgotten, what will remain? What remains? If our names are forgotten, and for the most part, our stories are forgotten, what is it that will remain? What will the legacy of your life be that will carry on when all of those things have been forgotten? And guys, I think this is so important, because when God says to Judah, he says, the days are coming, right? What he's wanting to do is he's wanting to get them to lift their eyes a little bit, right? He's wanting them to see, it's like, hey, what you're experiencing right now, it does matter. It's actually really, really important. But here's the thing, there's a way bigger story being written. There's a way bigger legacy, and it's gonna go beyond what you're experiencing right now. It involves you, but it isn't about you. Right? You're part of the story, but you're not the hero of the story. You're not the name that's going to be remembered, because ultimately, friends, we really have to understand that there is only one legacy that will stand the test of time. There is only one name that will be remembered. All of our own stories will be lost to the depths of time. There is only one story that has eternal significance forever. Guys, it's actually in God's legacy that our personal legacies become eternal legacies. Do you hear that? It's only in God's legacy, when our legacies are grafted in to God's greater legacy, that they become eternal, that they actually carry on. Friends, if you want your life to matter, you have to live for something that matters. If you want your life to have a legacy that endures into the ages, you have to live for something that's going to endure into the ages. It's only in God's legacy that our personal legacies become eternal legacies. There's an old parable you might have heard before. It's not a Jesus parable, but it's a parable nonetheless. It's a story about a visitor who walked into a village. And as they walked into the village, they saw three workmen. And the three workmen were all doing the exact same task. And so the visitor went to the first workman and asked the workman, he said, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the workman kind of turned around and looked annoyed and said to the visitor, I'm building bricks. I'm making bricks. The visitor said, okay. Went to the next workman who was doing the exact same thing and asked again, what are you doing? And this time the second workman turned around and looked and had a determined look on his face, and he said, I'm building a wall. I'm building a wall. And so finally the visitor got to the third workman, and again this third workman was doing the exact same thing that the other two were doing, and he said, what are you doing? And the workman turned around and had a look of amazement on his face, and he said, I'm building a cathedral, and it's going to be the most amazing cathedral the world has ever seen. Friends, use that story to say this, and I really feel like Holy Spirit has been just downloading a lot of revelation to me about this in my own life, for our church, and hopefully for your life as well. But I feel like the first thing we need to realize is this: brick building matters, okay? If I could just stretch out that parable for a minute, just use that. Brick building matters, okay? It's important. And what I mean by that is the little things matter. Like the way you live matters. The raising of kids matters. The building of families matters, right? The way you work matters. The way we take care of each other matters. The way we steward our finances with generosity, it matters. The way we take care of the earth, it matters. For people advocating for justice, for people suffering oppression, right? These things matter. The way we live, the way you work, the way you play, the way you love, right? Brick building matters. And I think in a lot of ways, we live in a world that celebrates brick building, don't we? It's about brick building. It's about you follow your dream and you follow your passion and you go after whatever it is that's on your heart to do. And it's so good and it's so right and it's so important in so many ways, right? Building bricks, it actually really does matter. But here's the problem with it, okay? The problem is that bricks don't exist for their own sake, do they? Like the reason someone makes a brick is not just to have a brick, right? The brick is supposed to be a part of something. It's supposed to be part of something big. I think it would be a tragedy if we got to the end of our lives and we looked back at all of the investment and all the passion and all the joy and the sorrow and the pain and the hard work and the sacrifice. We got to the end of our lives and we just kind of looked around and we said, wow, look at the sum of my life. There's some bricks. I got a brick over here and there's another brick over there. I made a brick over there. And there's two bricks on top of each other. That's kind of impressive. I think that would be a tragedy to get to the end of our lives and say, look at the bricks that I made. Because bricks don't exist just for their own self, don't they? They don't exist for their own sake. I remember you guys remember 2019. You remember that? That happened. And despite what it may feel like, it wasn't a decade ago either. In fact, it was, you know, more or less 7 months ago. 2019, that was real. And one of the things that happened, if you remember, in 2019, I think it was 2019, but it was Notre Dame, the big cathedral in Paris, Notre Dame. It caught fire. You remember that? And we were shocked. And I remember seeing it on the news and we were shocked. And because, let's be honest, in 2019, we needed something to be shocked about. I would say if the Notre Dame caught fire in 2020, we probably would have just been like, let it burn, you know, whatever. But in 2019, that was a very big deal. And the world was shocked. This beautiful cathedral was burning before our very eyes. And I've been to Paris, maybe some of you have as well, and you've seen it, and it's big, and it's beautiful, and it's magnificent. But here's the thing, the reason we were shocked about this cathedral burning is because essentially someone took a whole lot of bricks and made something beautiful, didn't they? Like, that's why. Because they took all these bricks, and I get there's a lot more involved in it than that, but there's a whole lot of bricks, and they made something beautiful. Like, if that was just a big pile of 10,000 bricks in Paris, we probably wouldn't have been as upset. Or if it was like 10,000 random bricks scattered around the world that were destroyed in instantaneous combustion, right? I mean, probably wouldn't have affected us as much, but because someone had taken 10,000 bricks, 50,000 bricks, 100,000 bricks, however many bricks are in that cathedral, and built something beautiful, when it was on fire, we were shocked. We were like, no, We couldn't believe that this was happening. Guys, here's my point from all of this, and I think you know it already, but this is so important, that this permeates into our souls. God has not just called you to be a brick maker. God has called you to be a cathedral builder. He's called you to be a little piece of a huge story. And the truth is that if you spend your whole life missing out on the biggest story of what God is doing, all you'll ever see is the bricks. You'll just see your little brick, and you'll get to the end of your life and you'll look around and you'll say, hey, look at the brick I built. Look at the thing I did. Look at the thing I made. And before long, history will cover that brick in dust and then moss, and it will mean nothing to anyone, right? And all these beautiful bricks that are filled with important things and passions and our lives and our sacrifice, all these things we've invested in will seem like nothing, because the whole time we haven't heard God saying, I'm building a cathedral. That's what I'm doing. I'm building a cathedral. And I want you in. I want you to be part of it. I want you to bring me your bricks. Bring me the bricks. I want your bricks to be a part of it. Your brick is amazing. It's beautiful. It's important. But can I let it be a part? Something that's going to endure. The greatest story that's ever told. Friends, my prayer for us, my plea for you is, don't let the legacy of your life just be about the brick that you built. Don't do it. Don't waste it, right? Because time will forget it. Time will forget your brick, right? James 4:14 says, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Time will forget your brick in two generations or less, right? Here's the thing. What needs to happen is, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to build your brick, and it needs to be the best brick you could build. The best brick anyone's seen. Let it be a brick of purpose and passion and integrity, right? Maybe your brick is raising up children. Maybe your brick is educating people. Maybe your brick is advocating for justice. Maybe your brick is in business or government or politics or just fighting for fairness. Maybe your brick is in building community for people. Whatever your brick is, pour your whole life into the brick. But then bring it. Bring your brick. You got to bring it to the architect. You got to make it count. You got to make it count for the cathedral of the kingdom of heaven that God is building on the earth. Because at the end of the day, we know how the story ends. And if you don't read the book of Revelation, the story ends. It doesn't end with people remembering your name or remembering my name or celebrating your life or remembering my life. I'll tell you where the story ends. The story ends with every tribe and every tongue and every nation literally on their face before the Lamb who was slain on the throne, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's where it's going. That's what the cathedral is building to. That's what we're invited into. That's where we get to bring our brick towards and invest it into. Because there's only one story that endures. One story. The question is, do you want to be Do you want to spend your life trying to build your own little story? Or do you want to bring your story, your brick, your life, your energy, your passion, your resources, your time, your family, and bring it to the biggest story, the cathedral of the kingdom of heaven? Friends, I beg you, don't waste your life. Live for something that matters. If you want to be remembered, or even if you don't, bring your brick to the architect, to the builder, and be a part of the great story that God is building on the earth. And so I'll finish with this, and I'll just circle back to my grandparents' funeral, because I did have some revelation about their funerals, because it did make me sad at one level when I realized that my son, these names didn't mean anything to him. And you know, if he has kids, one day they're going to mean even less to them. It made me sad, but it also made me realize and remember that that's not what it's about, right? That's not what it's about. Because maybe their names aren't remembered, and maybe their exact story isn't remembered. But the thing is, my grandparents built bricks. But not just for the sake of bricks. They built cathedrals by building bricks. And as they raised their kids to know Jesus, right, they weren't just building their brick. They were building a cathedral. As they poured their lives into their churches, they weren't just building their own little brick, they were building a cathedral. As they lived lives of sacrifice and generosity, they were building a cathedral. Yes, maybe their story, their name won't be remembered, right? But they didn't build bricks so their names would be remembered, right? They built bricks so that the name above every name would be worshipped. So that the kingdom of heaven would be established on the earth, right? That's why they built their bricks, and that's why they brought them. And that's why their legacies, it may not be remembered by their great-grandchildren, but in the story of eternity, it matters and it endures when we bring our legacy and submit it to God's legacy, what he's doing on the earth, it becomes an eternal legacy. Because the days are coming, says the Lord. The days are coming. God's going to build his cathedral, guys. Pandemics will pass. Governments will pass. Your job will pass. And guess what? I hate to say it, your life will pass in a blink. I'm 41 now. I remember my 21st birthday, 20 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's 20 years. In 20 more years, I'll be 61. In 20 years after that, I'll be 81. Right? The days are coming. Where are you going to invest your life? You're going to build your own brick? You're going to get to the end of your life and see a pile of brick, a brick over here, a brick over here, or are you going to bring it in submission and humility and say, God, I want my life, my energy, my passion to count for something way greater. Not that my name would be remembered, but that your name would be glorified. That's what we get invited into. Build bricks, build the best bricks, but never forget that when your heart is given over to God, you're actually building a cathedral. Let me pray for us. And so, Holy Spirit, we do. We pray for that revelation. We pray for that conviction. We pray that you would show us in every part of our lives how to have an eternal perspective, how to see the bigger story of what you're doing on the earth. And God, I pray for those areas in our life that we're white knuckle gripping right now, that we're afraid to bring over to you. Holy Spirit, maybe even right now, would you give us a conviction about those spaces. Give us a vision of handing them over, of holding them with open hands instead of clenched fists, and recognizing that you can take something that seems ordinary and you can use it for something glorious. God, I pray you would do that with every part of our lives, our families, our work, our friendships, our resources. Every part, Lord Jesus, we submit it to you. Thank you that the days are coming. Thank you that your purposes will come to pass and you will be glorified above all things. And so we bless you, the name above every name. And all God's people said, amen. As we dismiss, I just want to thank you for joining us. Again, if you're new and you want to get connected, There's a tab you can connect, a link to click to fill out a connect card. We would love to get you involved and help you get connected at our church. If you're interested in ministry time, we always have our prayer team available online after the services. You can click on the link for that as well if you need prayer. But go as people invited into a story. Go as brick builders, but more than that, go as cathedral builders, partnering with the great architect, the one who is seeing all his purposes come to pass for your good and for his glory. Go as the sons and daughters of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, amen, amen. Be blessed. We love you. We'll see you soon.